My name is Colony Largusa, and I'm a painter. I studied, I most recently got my MFA at University of Hawaii, and prior to that, I studied painting at School of Art Institute of Chicago. And prior to that, I did color theory, illustration, drawing and painting at California College of Arts in San Francisco. And I'm from Kauai, and happy to be back home.
Really? Where in Kauai?
I'm sorry?
Where on Kauai?
Well, I'm from Kapahi.
You're back there now?
No, well, currently I'm painting out of Chinatown in Oahu.
Okay, let's talk about that one painting, the Untitled.
Okay.
What do you have in mind?
Well, I think personally the paintings are kind of a natural evolution for me. A lot of my paintings tend to riff off of each other. And I suppose that's due to the fact that I'm working on multiple paintings at a time. With that particular painting, I actually started off wanting to do a stripped down composition. Things kind of went away from me early in the beginning, and I had a good idea of what colors I wanted to play with, and a lot of the colors that I've been working with lately have tended to naturally shift over into a lot of pink and neutral tones. And I suppose the rest of the colors that I use in conjunction with the pinks totally depends on what I feel is necessary in terms of complementary colors, and just pairing colors together, hopefully in a good way.
What are you talking about? Going for a stripped down composition when the last things I saw of yours were like stripes.
I know, it's hilarious. Sometimes it just works that way. And that was a painting that had really gotten away from me for a while, and took some thinking as far as where I was going with it.
Are those loops hand scribbles big or what?
A lot of the marks that you see are mostly very time consuming and a very slow process. I like to call them cold moves. I call them cold moves because they are a lot more calculated and slow than one might think. There's a lot of taping involved with a lot of the works, and in this particular work, I think it's a little bit. It's pretty obvious that the works are constructed. For me, at least, when I look at it, it's a little bit more obvious that I'm using tape to kind of tape things out and then paint into the areas that I'm masking. And that's how that painting is mostly done. If you look at a lot of my other paintings, I tend to try to keep it a little bit more naturalistic looking. For this painting, for some reason, the patterns and the overlapping and the layers and the hard-edged lines really kind of worked for the piece. And the piece itself, if you'll notice, is layers upon layers upon layers upon layers of color fields and textures and patterns that come together to create something that, for me at least, begins to get interesting. There's things that are happening in the composition that are fun and different, but also at the same time completely opposite from what I was shooting for in terms of simplicity. But that's just, it kind of just naturally and slowly pushed back until I really had to just commit to it and go, okay, let's see where this goes, and let's take this as far as I can take it. And with a painting like that, I end up usually just working myself to a point where there's very, very little room to there's very little wiggle room to play. The painting gets tighter and tighter and tighter, and your options get fewer and fewer and fewer as the composition moves along. And
you know what? You are describing a process so well.
Oh,
I really know what you're talking about, and I'm just and I'm trying to imagine somebody who does not work with materials in this way. Are they going to know what you're even talking about? Okay, talk to me about what you had to do internally to let it change so much.
That's a great question. When you're looking at the work, at least for me, I'm constantly focused on there's a few things that I'm looking at. I'm looking at the overall, I guess, graphic quality. So if you're thinking about the painting large scale, you kind of want to remove yourself from that scale as much as possible and imagine it as a thumbnail. And in those moments when you're trying to look at your work as a thumbnail, however that works for you or however you need to do that to get yourself there, once you get yourself there, you can then look at your piece as a graphic image and something that's going to draw one's attention at a glance or on a page or on a cell phone or something of that nature. Then you're also looking at the material presence, the weight of the work, how it makes you feel or you know what it resonates when you're in the presence of it. And that could be all kinds of different things, but I think in this sense, I mean compositionally, texturally. And then the other thing is the composition in terms of microcosm and macrocosm. Every mark itself is thrown into a series of other marks and other situations, and really each mark provides an interesting context for everything else to play around with and respond to. So you'll notice a lot in those works, there's a lot of play in terms of patterns over solid fields of color, action placed against no action, or something dynamic against something that's static, or colors that'll respond to each other. And what I like about this painting is that you have colors that call back to other colors or other layers. You'll have peaks of green that are responding to the reds and the pink hues, or reds patterned with white, creating another semblance of pink that I can play with or respond to later on in the layers. I hope I'm describing this well enough. But
my mental eye is just like looping around the painting and noting the things that you've mentioned. This is why people don't know how to talk about abstract paintings, because they don't go at it the way you just were to going at it. You know what I mean? People look at abstract, they don't know what the heck to say. And so what you're describing is a way in.
I think that's what painters are interested in, though. It's we seek out the gray areas of human existence, and we try to pinpoint where those shifts and those shades begin and end. We try to describe something, or we try to convey something that's difficult to convey or to describe. And I would say, with painting, that's one of the great potentials with painting, is describing things and getting at things that are very difficult to talk about. So when it comes to conversation, most of the painters that I know, we love to sit around and try to feel our way through things that are difficult to really grasp. And that's all the fun is the exploration. So I enjoy it. I enjoy these kinds of conversations.
Have you ever looked really close at Takashi Murakami's stuff? The edges. You know how taped edges are? Like there, and that is like in complicated things all over for miles, this guy. Takashi Murakami, man.
Yeah, wow. And that's, you said it right when you said the edges. Those are things that paintings are so rich with opportunities, and that's exactly what you're looking at when you're looking at paintings. I'm looking at edges. I'm looking at I want to look at clues. I want to dig back and look at the layers and trace the steps of the artist and where they went, and are there false clues? Are there is there anything that can tell me a little bit of truth about how this painting came to be? Those are always fun things, and I think a lot of the painters that I know, we tend to play tricks with each other and impress each other with sly little moves of color or texture here and there, little trickery. So it's always great to look at. And so with Takashi Murakami, I haven't seen his work in person yet, and I'm excited to see what it's like. He's on the list of ones that I'm excited to take a look at in depth.
Yeah. Wow.
It's a lot like music, if you think about it. It's a painting can be relative to a composition in a song to me. You have your composition of a painting, and you have the beginning and the end of a song, and the artist in both ways is trying to develop rhythms and patterns that tonally set the stage for some kind of narrative, even if that narrative is more emotive than narrative, I guess, than more emotive than just telling you how to feel or telling you a story with words. It's leading you through a feeling through the use of sound, or in a painting sense, it'd be colors and marks dotted throughout space. And so, in that sense, space becomes as important as the marks, and it's through that same way musicians will play with space and tones and tonal harmonies and throw themselves into that melody. Some especially in like if you're thinking like jazz, they're pulling out of the melody, throwing themselves as far out from the melody, and then pulling themselves back in again as a sort of challenge to see how far you can take it and pull yourself back into it. And abstraction in many cases works in the same way.